Thanks for listening to Exploring the Wine Glass podcast, the podcast for people who love wine. I'm Lori Budd, a UC Davis winemaking program and WSET Level 2 graduate. You can find Exploring the Wine Glass on all the socials as well as your favorite podcast catchers. If you haven't subscribed yet, now's the perfect time. I promise I'll never tell you what to drink, but I'll always share what's in my glass. On today's episode, we are returning to Wine from Ed Street. Today's letter of the day is X, and it stands for Xenomavro. Xenomavro itself is a conjunction of the Greek words for acid and black, although this is often translated as black and sour. I was able to find a bottle at a local wine shop for $14.99, and I have to honestly say it would be case worthy. But since this was the only bottle they had, it doesn't seem like there is more of this wine in my future. It was not an easy bottle for Debbie or I to find. I think Greek wines have so much to offer, but I am not 100% sure why they are so difficult to find. Part of me thinks it is because Americans don't like to drink wines that they have to Google how to pronounce. So I hope you enjoy this episode of Wine from Ed Street. Please let us know what wines or regions you would like us to research for season 2, which is just around the corner. And don't forget to follow Exploring the Wine Glass on all the socials, and remember to rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. Sláinte! Welcome to Wine from Ed Street. Happy Monday! And yes. Can I just say that this is the last Wine from Ed Street that I will be on this coast for 2 more times, and then next one, yay, I'm on the right coast for 2 months. I can't wait. And I've only got seven more days of school. And I get to
go. Oh, really?
I get school? Yes, I get to go. Yay! Can't wait. But anyway, we are here on Wine from Ed Street, and the letter of the day is X, and it is Xenomavro. And another grape that was a little difficult to get, right, Deb?
Yes, but my liquor store buddy in Stone Harbor, he pulled through it for me.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah. I actually, for the first time, actually did use Wine Searcher. And when I looked it up, there happened to be a store in Hohokus that had it. So I only had to go like a 15-minute ride to go get it. They had two bottles in stock. So... Uh-huh. Yeah, so I called them up. They said they had it. They were nice enough to hold it for me. Not that I thought there was going to be a mad dash to get these bottles, you know, in those 2 days before I could get there. But, right, you never know. So they held it for me.
I looked all over South Jersey. I looked in the Hudson Valley. No, I couldn't find it. Yeah. And then finally, in a conversation with the Jim Hand, who owns Fred's Liquor, for the Millbrook Wine Dinner, I said, I need a bottle of this wine. Can you get it? And he's like, yeah, no problem.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. So he got it for me.
That is awesome. So yeah. I'm going to bring Elmo up, and we are going to get started. Tell you, I just love Elmo. He is just so cute. I'm Lori. I began writing the blog to help people become more familiar with our wines, Dracena wines. We are known for our Cabernet Francs from Paso Robles. If you're interested in tasting our award-winning wines, head over to dracenawines.com and check out all of our accolades, and you can place your order there. And it is perfect shipping weather right now, so we are good to go with that. Our wines have been consistently rated 90 plus in Wine Enthusiast, and we've gotten gold medals, double gold medals for our Cabernet Franc and in the San Francisco Chronicle. I have recently separated the blog and podcast to Exploring the Wine Glass. So if anybody is having trouble finding the blog or finding the podcast, please reach out to me at exploringthewineglass@gmail.com because there's just something funky going on with Google Play, and I'll figure that out eventually. But other than that, I graduated from WSET Level 2 with distinction and founder of Cab Franc Day. So keep that in mind for December 4th. Deb, how about you?
Hi, I'm Debbie Giaquindo. I am known as the Hudson Valley Wine Goddess. You can find me at hudsonvalleywinegoddess.com. And I'm a certified specialist of wine and a wine location specialist in port and champagne. And I was drinking Piper Heights champagne today.
Yeah, and I was really jealous.
This new cellar master. He's a cutie. But anyway, I also have a book out called Tapping the Hudson Valley, Day Trips and Weekend Itineraries, to visit all the craft beverage producers in the Hudson Valley and farmers markets and sites and stuff. And you can find that on Amazon. And I'm co-owner of Happy Bitch Wines and also a partner in a restaurant in Stone Harbor, New Jersey called Kitchen, almost forgot there what I am at, Kitchen 330, where I will be spending my entire summer, the hostess with the mostest, seating everybody and talking. The Philadelphia magazine called me a wine maven.
Yes.
So,
rightfully so.
Come visit me for the next 2 months at 330 96th Street in Stone Harbor.
Awesome.
And except for Monday nights where I'll be here on Wine for Bet Street on the one Monday night. That's going to be my one night off a month.
It is the all very important time. Sláinte, my friend.
Sláinte.
Okay, so.
Ooh.
It's minty.
Interesting.
It's minty. It's chocolate. It's herbal.
I've got tomato.
Yes.
Yeah.
Tomato leaf. Oh, I like.
Do you? I'm not sure if I like
no,
it.
No, I do. Oh, I do.
I'm not sure.
I do. All right.
I thought it would be a little bit more complex.
Than
it isn't. Than my, I'm choking on it.
Well, I don't think it's.
I expected something heavier and bolder.
Oh, okay.
I think that's what, from all the research I was doing on the characteristics.
The very high tannin. It's very high tannin, but I got the impression that it was not a full-bodied wine. Although,
right.
This alcohol is a bit, ooh, right now. It's got to oxygen out a bit. I'm going to go into history. Zeno Mauro. Can be compared to Nebbiolo-based Barolos and Burgundy Pinot Noirs. So right there, that's why I wasn't expecting a full-bodied wine. But thanks to its firm structure and complex aromatic profile, its character can only be described as unique. So as I was doing this, I kind of cracked up to myself, you know, because I do that quite a bit. I just do things that entertain myself. So I'm like, oh yeah, Nebbiolo, yeah. And then I'm like, you know, Burgundy, yeah, unique. That's like, you know, when you get set up with the blind date and they go, yeah, he's got a nice personality. You know, like that's what I was expecting. Like, I'm like, oh, if they're calling it unique, I don't know. So that kind of scared me off a bit. But I like it. It's very dark, very tight clusters there. Super tight clusters. Zeno Mauro itself is a conjunction of the Greek words for acid and black, though this is often translated as black and sour. The grape is primarily cultivated in Nauser. That's the only one I'm going to pronounce correctly. Galmanisa, Amentayo, Repsani, Trichomo, Siasita,
Velvet. Mother-in-law when you need her.
What?
So where's my mother-in-law when you need her?
Yeah.
She's great.
Velventos and on a lesser scale to Mount Athos at Ossa, Ionian. I don't even know why I wrote these things down because I have no idea where they are or what they are. But Magnesia, Castoria, and Trikala. In 2010, the total global cultivated area was a mere 1,971 hectares, which is just under 5,000 acres. So not a lot when you consider the whole global scheme there, and was entirely in Greece. But by 2013, it had grown to 2,239 hectares, which is just over 5,500 acres worldwide. And now they're starting to see larger plantings done in Gansu, China.
That's interesting.
Yeah. The other way of spelling this grape is with a Y instead of the I. So it's still Xinomavro, but instead of X-I-N, you can see it as X-Y-N. And highly regarded as the finest red wine the country has to offer. Xinomavro is the only grape permitted in the monogrape wine region, you know, their appellation, their PDO, of Galmenencia Amentillo. And most importantly, look at that beautiful place.
I know, I got some pictures there too.
Nausa, Nausur, and I am in love with that place. That is, I just want to be there at this moment.
I'm telling you, all the pictures that you see of Greece, that's what it looks like, because I've been. Oh. And I've been to the islands, and
really?
It's beautiful.
I want to go so badly. It's so beautiful. This is the problem with wine for Bet Street. I keep seeing all of these countries and all of these regions where we get these grapes from, and I just want to go. It is now, sir, that is considered to be the finest of all the regions and to have the greatest potential for even more greatness. So I think they're focusing in on this region to be the, you know, the spokes region for the area. The area has a long history of wine production, so much that the artist Cousinry wrote back in 1831. So I couldn't find an image of her, but this is artwork from her. Which is pretty cool. But Marie Cousinry stated, "The wine of Nausur is to Macedonia what Burgundy wine is to France. I am in a position to say that the wine of Nausur is the best in the Ottoman Empire. With the vineyards in Nausur being almost all south-facing, the vines are sheltered so the extremes of climate that the other parts of Macedonia are subject to are really somewhat tempered there. So when they planted these vines, they made this protective blanket by the direction that they planted them in. The sun exposure also balances the grape's variety's natural high acidity." So in the earliest 20th century, the vineyards of Nausur, like so many other wine regions, were infected by phylloxera, which led to their gradual destruction. During the 1960s, two scientists, Mrs. Carico Dragona and Mr. Vlachos, who, let me tell you, there was not a picture on the internet anywhere of this Mr. Vlachos, were determined to revive the region. So in 1968, Batari, a well-known winery in Nausur, wines since 1879, they actually, with the scientists' help, converted their trees and brush and just open space to Xinomavro. And so between these two scientists and the Gianna Cocciori winery, they're really the ones who have brought back the grape to its greatness. The total production of Nausur origin labeled wines is of the magnitude about 2,500,000 liters, of which 30 to 40% of it is exported. So that's a really large exportation percentage. Like, a lot of these small regions, it all gets consumed by their own people. And you're seeing, like Franciacorta exports out like 10%, and here you're looking at 30 to 40% exportation. So they're really heavily relying on their exports. There are three that are now mainly used. I'm sorry. Zeno Mavro is an ancient variety, and it has lots and lots of clones. But there's only about three of them that are used now. And these three clones were used or chosen because they produced the small berries and those bunches. So, like what I was saying about how tight those bunches are. When carefully maintained, the wines produced are relatively fine-grained tannins, delicate aromas, and very bright pigmentation. And I have to agree with that. It's going to be kind of tough to see in this situation, but it is very Pinot Noir-esque. It's a very light color, beautiful, like a ruby color, light ruby. Almost, it might even be a little garnet. It's a pretty color. And I'm digging it.
See, I'm not liking it that
No,
much.
but you know
Yeah.
what? There's more of that tomato leaf coming out in mine.
Yeah, and I was talking to Michael, and it is a little sour on the finish, on the aftertaste. Mine is, at least.
But you know what? I'm like a sweet and sour fiend. So I'm not really like sour to me is not a bad thing. It even has a very decent length finish. The tannins, oh, and it's actually acid because I'm salivating. I'm like
Yeah.
it actually the tannins are there strong enough that just hold that flavor onto your palate for quite some time.
I will agree there, but I'm not sure I'm liking the flavor.
Now, oh, I like it.
I even get a little tapenade in it.
Oh, okay. I'm not sure that would be along my lines of yay.
Yeah, mine, I'm not. This is much more like definitely the tomato-y. I don't get a lot of fruit.
No, oh, okay.
It's more my
I like
what's in my bottle, what's in my glass.
right.
So I'm not sure I'm digging that.
Well, we'll
But
let it open up a little bit too, because last month,
yeah.
remember, neither of us liked it, and as it opened up a little bit,
Yeah, that's
it got better.
true. So I'll go on with characteristics. Cosimo Alvaro is really how you pronounce it. Okay, so I got this guy. You can hear it when he comes on.
Okay, don't forget that the best red variety is called Xinomavro. Is that clear to you? Or do I have to say it once again? Let me say it once again. The best red variety of Greece is called Xinomavro.
Gesinomavro. How's that?
Yeah.
Gesinomavro.
Yeah, so that's how you say
Okay, so I'm just gonna
it.
say I went to my howtopronounce.com and they said Xenomavro.
Well, that was coming from this guy, Greek.
He
I got
sounded
just
like he knew what he was talking about. We'll stick to
my mother-in-law last week when I saw her how to say it, but
that.
Cassino Mavaro. It comes from the word Zeno, which is sour, Mavro, which is black. The grapes are medium size, round in shape, with thick skin, white flesh, and a characteristic color of the skins ranging from a dark red to nearly black. There's many different wines that are produced from this grape. We've got red, rosé, sparkling wine, and sweet wine. So they make a variety of different wines. From this grape. So it's grown pretty much in this, where I've circled and have the arrow pointed. That's the Macedonia region in Greece. And there are four superior quality regions in northern Greece, and three of them are in Macedonia. One is in Thessaly?
Yeah.
The Nausir region is dedicated purely to Kessing Mavro.
Right.
And it's actually a cool climate. And the cool climate of Amydeo, Amydeo, and that's where my wine is from.
Oh, okay.
In the appellation of Goenissa, they blend Kessing Mavro with at least 20% of Negosca. So it's kind of like different rules, like in France.
Right.
You know, how you have different areas and they have to do, you know, X amount. So in the appellation of Repsani, which is in the Thessaly area, Kessing Mavro is blended with Stravato and Crisato in equal amounts. And when it's blended, it actually becomes easier to drink young. It is a finicky grape that is difficult to grow, so it's kind of like, you know, Pinot Noir. It is it's very sensitive to disease, and it's also susceptible to vintage variation. When it's poorly made, it's extremely sour. So if you buy a bottle and you're drinking it and it's extremely sour, gotta, you know, take that up with the winemaker.
I will fly to Greece and deal with it.
Yes. Kessing Mavro is a very, very powerful grape. Extremely complex with high tannins, and it's very age-worthy. So it has a very interesting flavor profile. You can find on the nose dried plums, sun-dried tomatoes, strawberries, blueberries, raspberries, truffles, olives, leather, earthy notes, aromatic herbs. Aging wood will bring out the spice.
Wet corridor? No!
Earthy and spice. Different spices that will come out
Baking spice.
From the woods. And the flavor profile, what you'll taste on your palate, could be plum, cherry, raspberry, fig, tapenade, earth and spice. And when it ages, flavors of leather, licorice, and clove can develop. Yours is older than mine.
Yeah, yeah. Mine's a 2014, so it's got a little age. I am digging it. I really am. And now, a word from our sponsor. Did you know that Dracena Wines now has a wine club? We named it the Chalk Club. Draco is on our label, but Vegas was getting a little jealous, so we decided he deserved to be our club spokesdog. In Las Vegas, betting chalk means that you are betting on all of the favorites. We are betting that we are one of your favorite wineries, so we thought the name was apropos. The club is simple, yet a bit different than most. When you wager on us, we will ship you 3 bottles of wine twice a year, once in April and once in September. You can choose all red or mix of red and rosé. You immediately receive 15% off of all your wine purchases throughout the year, but what makes our club stand out is the progressive discount. Let your club membership ride into the next year. Your discount increases. Each year you parlay your membership, you receive an additional 5% off up to a planned maximum of 25%. Your club shipments are discounted to a flat $15, plus we'll cover your club shipping cost for your second shipment. That's $15 house money in a sure bet for you. So please head to our website, DracenaWines.com, and find out all of the benefits of joining the Chalk Club and how to sign up. We've stacked the odds so that you can get our award-winning wines without breaking the bank. So, once again, this is my bottle, okay? So, it's young vines. Now, I think I think that most, I read somewhere that it's most of their vines are 20 years old. So I think everything's pretty much considered young vines there. Thymiopolis, Casena Mavro. And this is from the Nauser region. So that automatically, as we know, that automatically tells us that this is 100%. I'm going to go my way, Zeno Mavro. This is probably the winery that I have found the most information on. There was so much, so many different people talked about this winery. I was like, wow, this is a first. When it's not an American winery. So this is from Somme Select. Okay. They say there is a lot of excitement around Thymiopolis, who has assembled an inviolable collection of vineyards in the Nauser villages of Trifolos and Ficcia, which neighbor one another but are nevertheless quite diverse. Trifolos is said to be one of the warmest subzones of Nauser, while Ficcia, with vineyard altitudes climbing up to 500 plus meters, is one of the coolest. So many of these vineyards were originally farmed by the winery owner's grandfather, also named Apostolos, but the family had long sold the grapes to others, retaining only some for family consumption. It wasn't until the grandson, Apostolos, graduated from the University of Athens Enology program in 2000 that he actually began making wines with the family name on them. So the first commercial release was 2003. So they are, yeah. So I guess the grandson was like, enough of this. I'm done selling these grapes. You know, let's make our own wine from these grapes. So they call him, they say he has a very charismatic personality and that shows through his wines. So Thymiopolis has also made a point of getting out into the wider wine world. And they are very well known in France. And he has gone to France multiple times to gain inspiration and gain, learn techniques of how the French make wine in order to bring that back to his winery and produce wines. The vines, oh, I was off. I thought it was 20 years. The vines are 30 years old. And they usually ferment on ambient yeast. And this wine in particular was aged 12 months in 500-liter French oak casks before bottling. And Berry and Brothers says that Apostolos Thymiopolis has been described as Greece's rising star. And having tasted his earth and sky, Zeno Mavro, they understand why. As I said, it's a family business. And 95% of their wine is exported.
Wow.
I know. Holy cow. Right?
That's
yeah. Unlike many of their neighbor, Thymiopolis does not irrigate their vines. This was chosen in order to avoid increasing tannins in the variety that is already well known for strong tannins and phenolic compounds. They have an organic approach that extends to the pest controls. They actually use turkeys and guinea fowl to keep the locust and other unwelcomed pests at bay. Swarms of locusts coming to the vine. So they use a guinea fowl and turkeys. I don't know what a guinea fowl is. I'm going to have to, I think that's that like weird looking bird, right? Like with the, like the quail relative thing. So again, for this wine, harvested by hand towards the end of September, early October, the grapes are carefully selected and, taken to, a sorting tray and, to stainless steel tanks for natural fermentation, And then it actually does go through spontaneous malolactic fermentation. And they are actually hand bottled, unfined and unfiltered. I don't know. You know, there's different levels of hand bottling, but that's insane. That's insane to hand bottle all of that stuff. So that's what I've got. A lot of information about this winery. Apparently they are the, he is the up and coming, you know, glory winemaker of the Nausa region.
Wow.
So
good for him.
Yeah.
Good for him. So mine is Alpha Estate wines.
Much more, French looking label.
Yeah. So a little bit about them is Alpha Estate was founded in 1997 by the viticulturist Makis Mavridis and chemist enologist Angelos Itridis. They produce
we are so nailing these Greek words, man.
And so I grew up with Greek friends. I have a Greek mother-in-law who was, you know, grew up in Athens, you know, and everything.
Doing her proud.
I'm making them real proud. So they own 75-hectare vineyards in production. Alpha Estate is situated in the Empelia location, which means vines, in the heart of Amadian region in the northern part of Greece. It's privately owned. It sits on a plateau at an altitude of between 620 and 710 meters with northwest exposure. The local climate is characterized by cold winters, sufficient rainfall, and snow, which provides the vines necessary water supplies so that they can endure the dry summers that they do have. And they do have dry summers. Summers are great in Greece. I got my best tan in Greece using baby oil.
Oh, geez.
But we weren't out there. I was dumb and stupid. I was young, dumb, and stupid. Additionally, there's two neighboring lakes.
Yes.
So that controls the mild to semi-continental climate. The soil is sandy clay texture with good drainage. Let's see here. The area allows the fruit to ripen. In order to avoid extreme water deficits during the summer, root zone drying irrigation is applied to assure the optimum conditions for the grapes to mature. Alpha Estate also, beside Kesimarvo, it also grows another really good Greek grape, Mavrodofin, Syrah, Merlot, Pinot Noir, Tanat, Montepulciano, Negro, Amaro, Barbera, Malaguzia, Sauvignon Blanc, Chardonnay, and Gewurztraminer.
All right.
So what I have.
They run the gamut.
Yep. So this is a single vineyard. It's called Hedgehog. 100% Kesimarvo. The Hedgehog is a subregion, 690 meters altitude with northern exposure facing Lake Petron and Mount Voris. Vinification method and aging, destemming, no crush, cold soaks, skin contact.
Wait, so they're doing whole cluster?
It just says no crushing. Yeah, so they must. Cold soak, skin contact, alcohol fermentation at gradual increasing temperatures, maintenance of wine surlees for 8 months. So it sits on its lease for 8 months.
Wait, I'm sorry. Go back and read that whole thing over. Did they de-stem?
It said, yeah, they did de-stem.
Oh, okay. Because I was like, holy cow.
De-stem.
Okay.
No, de-stemming, no crush.
Okay.
No crushing, cold soaked skin contact.
Okay.
Alcoholic fermentation at gradual increasing temperatures. Maintenance of the wine sur lees for 8 months with regular stirring. 12 months in French oak, medium grain, white toasting, and 12 months in the bottle before being released. So their tasting notes is bright purple, red color, complex, typical bouquet of small berries, red fruits, leather, and spices, vanilla, clove, pepper, with hints of ripe blackberry, full mouth, rounded tannins, balanced acidity, and well-integrated wood tones, long aftertaste with intense quince aroma. I'm not sure I agree with that, but...
So I was, when you were reading it and I thought they were doing a whole cluster, I was shocked because you don't typically do a whole cluster with such a well-known tannic wine, because whole cluster means you're throwing in the stems and everything and the stems have the tannin in it. So that I zoned out when you said de-stemmed and I was completely like, you know, winemaker, what, you know.
No, it is de-stemmed.
Oh, okay.
I'm starting to get a little bit of plum in here as this opens.
No.
But I mine does have a sour note to it.
I'm not really, 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 really digging it.
Sour note is on the aftertaste. I'm glad you're digging yours. I'm not digging mine.
There is, I would say there's a sour cherry element to it. But, I can't be, like, can you hear I'm, like, salivating? I'm like, I'm loving it. I might have to go back and buy the other bottle that's left on the shelf.
I've got some little bit of red fruits on that. As it's opening, they're starting to become a little bit more, fruits are starting to show. I got plum. I got a little red cherry.
Yeah, I think we both kind of messed up a bit. You know, we said that we only opened it. We only opened it like 15 minutes, 7:45 or so. And that was bad. We should have known with the tannin and the profile that it had. We should have probably opened it a little bit earlier than that. I don't have a decanter here. So it's literally just pour a little bit out so that it gets a little oxygen. I don't have any of my wine gadgets here in New Jersey, so I can't do anything. But I'm digging it. I definitely am digging it. All right. So,
will this pair with the meatloaf that's downstairs waiting for me?
I don't know what yours is. I think the tomato sauce in with it will. But again, remember, I don't eat meatloaf, so.
Okay. I will look back on my blog post how the meatloaf went.
Yeah, I think it would. If it's a lean meat, you know, like is it turkey or is it beef?
It's beef, grass fed.
Okay, so it's gonna be lean. You're gonna have that tomato in there. He's probably gonna put in some spices, which is going to bring out that herbaceousness in here.
Yeah. We'll see. There's bacon in it too.
Oh, see, so.
Well, let's put the top on.
A little smoke. There's no smoke in here, but I think it's going to go well. You know, as I guess what, you know, meatloaf, whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever, meatloaf. Oh. Okay. I always laugh when I do the food pairings because I have no idea what any of these things taste like.
Okay.
So
go for it.
All right. So part of the Greek culture is that very rarely is there ever a meal that they sit down with that they're not drinking wine. So I got to go right off the bat that I dig that culture. You know, if they're going to sit down and eat, there's going to be wine on the table. So I like that. We all know the adage that what
you know, what grows together goes together. So Zino Mavaro is, you know, a true testament to that. With their firm tannic structure and their crisp acidity, it calls for fat, you know, fatty meats, full of protein. And I think that when you think Greek, you think lamb. I mean, I think they go hand in hand. So this would definitely pair with, you know, that those lamb kebabs, and that, their Greek white sauce, their yogurt sauce or whatever.
It's called tzatziki sauce.
What is it?
Tzatziki.
Tzatziki. Yeah. Yeah. So I'm going to go a little sidebar here because, you know, like I said earlier, I crack myself up sometimes more than cracking anybody else up. So I was making a recipe for something and, I read, the recipe was for tahini sauce, right? Mm-hmm. But in my head, I had tzatziki sauce,
completely
right?
Different.
So, completely different. So I'm like going around and I'm going up and down Whole Foods and I can't find this stupid, you know, and I'm walking right past the tahini sauce, but I'm thinking this stuff, this white stuff. So I'm walking right past it. And I go up and I ask, you know, do you have tahini sauce? I'm using the right word. I'm like, do you have tahini sauce? And she's like, well, yeah, it's right down that aisle. It's over there. And I go walking by again and I'm blowing right past it. And now I'm getting annoyed because like now I'm like an hour in this store looking for this stupid sauce. All right. So I go back to her. I said, I'm really sorry. I'm just not seeing it. So she comes and she's nice enough. She grabs it for me and I look at it and I'm like, oh, okay. Still thinking it's this white sauce in this can, you know? And so I get home and I open the can and I literally open it and it's all brown and stuff, you know, and I'm like, what the hell, man? It's brown. And then I Googled it and I realized I was completely on the wrong continent. Well, you know, I was so wrong, but I was like, all right, well, but I did like the tahini sauce because that's more sesame. That's more like the Thai stuff, right?
Yeah.
All right. So that was a sidebar that I'm not really sure it was worth going into. But anyway, so obviously the lamb pairing. Meat stew with some root vegetables. And again, here's the bacon. So I'm thinking, Deb, this is kind of close to your meatloaf.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think that's going to be kind of close to your meatloaf. This has the bacon in it. It just doesn't have the tomato. And here's my concern is you're not liking the tomato.
Right. I don't know if I'll... Well, we'll see. We'll see what happens. Stay tuned.
Right. So I'm wondering if it's going to intensify the tomato on your palate in the wine. So beef stew with bacon. Grilled beef steak. Okay.
Oh, really?
So I look up game meat. Okay. And this is the first thing that came up in Google. So I immediately was like, what the f-? Right? Squirrel? Seriously? Squirrel? But great British chefs are making a squirrel. I'm like, I didn't know people ate squirrel. But I had to put it in there because it's considered game, and I thought it was pretty funny. But I squirrel. So
I'm fine with that.
Really game meats, not necessarily squirrel. But if there's anybody out there that eats squirrel... I will send you a bottle of wine if you're in the U.S. I will send you a bottle of wine if you show me the squirrel and you eating it because that is just insane to me. Like, I don't think we need to eat squirrel.
No.
Yeah, and all I'm thinking is like Elmer Fudd out there. be very quiet. I'm hunting squirrel, you know?
I can see Kokovin.
Okay.
Yeah, pair him.
Right. And now this one, I think, is very much for that earthiness. So you were talking about the leather, that the potential for the leather, that earthiness, and you know how I said it's the kind of wet mossiness that's in there. That this is gonna, that mushroom risotto is going to be the jam with this. And then, of course, you know, I cannot have a food pairing without giving off the cheese. So the recommended cheese for Zinamavero is aged Gouda and cheddar.
Okay, I can see that.
So that is the food pairings.
I liked it all but the squirrel.
Yeah. I just had to put the squirrel in.
I'm going to be haunted by that.
I know. It's going to be a little squirrel.
Yeah.
Cute little squirrel. Who eats a squirrel? It's like, who eats pigeon? I'm sorry. Who eats pigeon?
Oh, I had pigeon when I was in France.
No.
Towards the end of it, I just gave it to Paul. It's like, I can't eat anymore.
I mean, there's a lot of stuff I don't eat, but there's things that I don't understand how people eat. Why would you eat a squirrel?
I don't know.
Why?
That was gross. But anyway, I've got meatloaf downstairs waiting for me.
Is there a squirrel in it?
No, there's no squirrel. We're going to leave you with some facts. And I really don't have that many pictures to go with it. But one of the things I want to leave you with is Casimiro, according to this guy here on YouTube, means acid black. And it is the dominant red grape of northern Greece. And a little factoid, Casimiro of Nacer was the only wine which, after a transatlantic trip to America, would arrive unspoiled.
Oh.
So that was just interesting. It is the signature grape of Macedonia region. Mm-hmm. In the Nacer region, the vineyards are located in the southeastern slopes of Mount Vermon, protected from the cold northern winds, and they take full advantage of the sun's warm rays during the midday. Let's see. It's just a nice picture of the vineyard. While Nacer is the predominant region where Casimiro is grown, it's also, like I said before, in a bunch of other regions, the Amateo, the Galmesia.
All of the regions we can't pronounce.
Yes, and Rapsini, and it's also made dry wines, sparkling wines, rosé wines, and sweet wines. And in different regions, they can blend it. And it's considered one of the dozen and a half or so world class grapes. So it's that would have been a first, because this isn't a grape that is normally spoken in everyday wine conversation. So it is considered one of the dozen and a half or so world class grapes. So
beautiful.
Take it from there. But that's a vineyard. And that's a vineyard in Nacer.
Very pretty.
Yeah. So that's all I got.
All right. I like it. I like it a lot. It's opening up even more. Like I said, there is some sour cherry coming through. It's pretty. It's a pretty wine. And that first sip that I had, that I was like, ooh, I'm tasting the alcohol. which is only 13%. Isn't that horrible? I say only 13%. Is no longer there. Like, now I'm sipping it and it's not there. But it's really the first wine that we've had, that I've had in a while, that I truly salivating at the acidity, and the tannins just were elegant. They were there, but they were just coating the tongue and allowing those flavors to continue. And the more I'm tasting it, the more red fruit that is coming through. It's really, that plum is there, which I guess is a black, but the plum is there. There's the sour cherry, a little bit of the aromatics, floral aromatics are coming through more. It's beautiful. I like it.
See, I'm not a fan, and maybe it's because, you know, yours is older, so that might have something to do with it too.
Right.
Mine's 3 years old. Yours is 5 years old.
Right. So maybe yours is still a little too tight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I keep getting the plum and the cherry as this opens, but I have a real sour on the finish.
Okay.
A really sour on the finish.
It's like a sour, you know, those red sour cherry gum, not gum, but those sour cherry candies.
Okay. No. Like,
no? Oh my God. I grew up on those things.
Sour candies?
Yeah.
Not Jolly Ranchers.
No, they're soft. They're round. They're round. They're red. And when you bite into them, they're chewy. And they're called sour cherries.
Okay. No, I guess I didn't have those in my childhood.
Oh. Yeah, so that's in here too. It's supposedly only medium acidity, but I'm really getting, I would say this one is high acidity. All right, Deb, so tell us about next month.
So next month we visit the Yarra Valley,
for Australia.
I'll put the link in the show notes there.
Okay.
Sign up. And
July.
We Oh, July. What day is it?
July 15th, right?
July 15th. Monday, July 15th, 8 o'clock.
Yeah, and I don't think we've done Australia. Have we done any Australia? No.
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 No. So.
Yeah, we're going to. Well, we'll rectify that this time.
The Yarra Valley will be easier to find than Greek wine.
Yeah, I think so. I think so.
Yeah. I think so.
Yeah.
So,
well, I am going to chill for the rest of the night, and I'm going to have another glass while I sit and watch Family Guy.
I'm going to sit and see how this pairs with the meatloaf.
Yeah, let me know.
Yes, I will. I will.
Let me know.
Well, thank you, everybody, for joining us.
Yes, thank you for joining us. Whether it's on Facebook Live or on YouTube or live with us tonight, we appreciate all of your support. Come back next month for Wine for Bet Street, letter Y.
And we hope that we're opening your eyes and your palates to try new and different wines. And even though this, I'm not a big fan of this, but Lori is, I might try an older one if I can find it, you know, an older vintage that I might like better.
Right. You know what? Maybe I'll go to Hohokus before I head out and pick up the other bottle. And then when I get back in September, we can
down for a weekend.
Yeah, come on down for the weekend and give it a try so you can taste this because it's nice.
Sounds good. Yeah, sounds good.
All right. So thank you, everybody, for joining. Please head over to winefabetstreet.com so you can register for any of our future seminars, along with just watching our past ones in case you've missed any of them. And again, I can be found at drusinawines.com, but also at all the social media channels at Exploring the Wine Glass for the blog and the podcast.
And I can be found on HudsValleyWineGoddess.com And I'm on all the social media channels as well as HB Wine Goddess on Twitter and Instagram. And I'm trying to think, Hudson Valley Wine Goddess on Facebook.
There we go.
So have a great evening, guys.
Have a great evening. Bye.
Bye.
This has been another episode of Exploring the Wine Glass. Thanks for listening. If you have suggestions on what topics you would like me to discuss, please reach out on social media. You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook as Exploring the Wine Glass. I'm also on LinkedIn as Lori Hoyt Budd. Of course, you can always email me at exploringthewineglass@gmail.com. If you enjoyed our podcast, please rate, review, and subscribe on your favorite podcast catcher to help others find me more easily. Until next week, Sláinte!